when you went into, I assume, medicine, right?
No, I have a PhD in medical anthropology, actually.
Medical anthropology?
Uh-huh.
What is that?
I was really interested in healers and the relationship between healers and patients. And in particular, then, one of the things that intrigued me was whether people could heal others from a distance. And we hear about this all the time. We certainly hear about it in its negative uses, like sorcery, for example, where somebody puts a spell on someone else. And, you know, we hear these reports, but what is the fact behind the story, as it were? And so I became really interested in that and started interviewing healers from different traditions and then trying to take the claims they were making about this distant healing into a laboratory setting and actually begin to study it using science. And so I've kind of blended my field work with my laboratory work and tried to understand a little bit about this question of healing.
Now, did you find a major difference between this kind of consciousness healing and practical medicine?
Well, if you mean practical medicine, meaning standard medicine?
Standard.
Mm-hmm. I think that there are some really fundamental challenges that face standard medicine today. You know, we have an increasing reliance on technology and on the external, that thing that we can manipulate somehow out there in the world, whether it's the body or some aspect of the body's experience. And what I think is missing from that is the whole level of consciousness and interiority. What is our experience of our body? What is our experience of health and well-being? And I think that in traditional cultures, you see a lot more emphasis on the relationship and on some of these subtle things like, you know, if you look at traditional Chinese medicine where they believe in a kind of qi energy.
Right.
Or various traditions, they talk about qi or prana. You know, there are aspects of reality, and I put that in quotes, that different cultures hold that have no place whatsoever in the Western scientific and medical framework. And so I think our challenge is how to expand medicine so that we can take what is really good from these different traditions and rehumanize the medicine that we have.
There is something out there, though, that has got to be a catalyst for making this work. And probably Edgar understands it. I'm sure you do as well. I'm not sure mainstream medicine understands it, that there's a force out there that somehow is tied into all this, and for whatever reason, it works.
Well, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, I think that's the value of science, for us to really begin to calibrate when it works, when it doesn't, how important our belief systems, for example. One of the things we've learned in the laboratory is that it appears that distant healing works and that it can be measured, but it doesn't always work, and belief seems to be a really powerful predictor if somebody's open and receptive,
mm-hmm.
but maybe not too open and receptive. I mean, there may be some limiting capacities there, too. So one of the advantages of doing science is really to begin to understand better, you know, what works, what doesn't work.
Are we talking about two different kinds of healing? One would be the healer, the person who maybe sends this energy through whatever this ether may be.
Mm-hmm.
Or are we talking about the receiver, the person who has the illness? Who really cures oneself? Is it the person or the healer?
Oh, such a good question. It's probably a system. You know, it may well be that it's about both and more. You know, I think it's important that a healer have the right skills and qualities to match with the healee or the patient. I think there are issues of sort of relationship and resonance that come into that relationship. And then there may be factors that have to do with the environment and may have to do with then atmospheric conditions, you know, geomagnetic fields. So there's so many unknowns about how healing happens, and particularly these sort of further reaches of the healing encounter, that it's a very exciting time to be doing research.
Well, there's no question about that. There are so many things out there that people are now beginning to become more and more aware of, Doctor, that years ago they did not. One of them, I think, has to do with the power of positive thinking. You can call it prayer, whatever you want to call it. And it seems to work in such an extent that it works whether it's done by an individual or done by 10 million people, doesn't it?
We have a new book called Consciousness and Healing that is just out, and we talk about this question of prayer and healing. We have chapters by Larry Dossey, who discusses the research and talks about the implications of prayer and healing. There's a recent survey that was done out of the National Institutes of Health that looked at alternative health care usage in America. So you have standard allopathic medicine, which is mostly scientifically based and technologically based. And then you have these kind of alternative practices that have really come into greater utilization. And the survey found that three of the top five modalities involved prayer, involved some kind of contemplative mind, whether it was prayer for self or prayer for others. And so it's obvious that the majority of people in our country and throughout the world have some belief and some experience that prayer does heal. The question is how? And again, there are a number of ways in. I think this issue of consciousness and healing is such a spectrum. You know, it's everything from my own mind-body relationship, like the importance of my belief system, my emotions, my mental imagery, and how that then shapes my biology. It's also about how we define meaning, how we experience our pain or our suffering or our joy and, you know, the positive experiences of life. There's the consciousness that comes into the meaning. There's also things that redefine our relationship to our body, like dance and movement. There's just so many ways into thinking about how healing can be triggered. You know, and then we have these broader environmental factors. And then we start talking about something like prayer and healing, and we think, is there an X factor? Is there something more?
Mm-hmm.
You know, beyond mind, body, social, environmental, what else is there that we could be harnessing in order to maximize our own healing capacities?
And could it be one of a couple things? One could be a possibility that whatever prayer does, it somehow channels energy to this person, and energy somehow has an ability to cure or fix. The other thing I thought about, Doctor, was maybe through prayer we are really in contact and summoning up a God, for example, in that he takes care of it. And I don't know which works. Maybe it's a combination of both.
There's all different cosmologies about that, and I wouldn't want to speculate that one is better than another. The question of energy is an interesting one. If somebody is able to heal another person on the other side of the planet with nothing more than their intention, and the person on the other side of the planet doesn't even know they're being intended for, it doesn't look like conventional energy in the way that we normally understand it. It doesn't seem to fall off with the square of the distance, for example. So is there something else beside energy, or is there another way of understanding energy? You know, certainly a lot of practitioners describe, you know, heat in their hands, and, you know, there may be something different about the experience of up-close healing as compared to this sort of distant healing, where consciousness may obey different rules than the physical world does.